Okay, call the meeting to order. Everybody's present. Any public comment on items not on the agenda?
Not for me.
Hearing none, move on to the minutes. Any comment on the minutes?
Accept the minutes.
Minutes are approved. We move on to presentations, finance update.
Okay, we'll turn this over to our finance director, Julie.
Good afternoon. In front of you, I have the unaudited November 2019 financial statements.
That was an add-on over here.
Committee, we've asked for some prior year percentages. I hand wrote them in there. We're going to be working with, I'm going to try to work with Casella and get them to get a report that prints those. I did want to bring two items, and I wrote notes on them, and that is down in Zone 8 and in the water, wastewater. We have some extraordinary income. PG&E did some dewatering, and we had some funds for that. It's $286,000 at the moment right now. And that is on page 10. That is where our revenue has increased over the prior year. And then in Zone 8, we received the first payment on the Hoffman promissory note, and that is reported. I do want you to note that with working with the auditors, they are going to pull that into FY19 fiscal year because they're going to take the whole amount of the promissory note and record it as income because it is likely that we're going to get paid since we already received one of the payments.
Okay.
Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, what's the dewatering?
That's where PG&E dumps water into our wastewater.
Okay. And they paid us how much was it?
$286,000.
Put a lot of water.
Was
that a lot of
water?
Okay, a lot of
dewatering.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, they call it dewatering.
Big trench.
Yeah.
Okay, any other anomalies?
Everything else is pretty straightforward. And the rest of my department continues to work on documenting our financial procedures to work to get the funds from the county. We have to have everything documented. Mm-hmm. And I will be reaching out to Rod in the next probably 3 weeks to get an estimate of any legal fees that you might have.
Okay. But we're moving along with the treasury.
We're moving along. It's gonna heat up here pretty quick. We need to get the audit behind us.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it.
All right. No other questions?
Yeah, I don't know if you know the answer. Why is PG&E dumping water? Do you know why?
Well, we're working on a project, and so, yeah. So
it's not wastewater, it's just plain water.
They're digging a trench. The groundwater fills it up. We need to get the water out. Okay. We got to put it someplace.
So that's not hurting us, diluting our little killers over there?
No.
Okay.
It helps.
Okay.
Clean water.
Cleaner the water.
Okay. Dilution factor is pretty good.
Okay. Thank you.
That's okay. Okay, we've done discussion items. Item E1, rate study.
Okay, we'll turn this over to.
Actually, I'm just going to pass it to Allison. So she's working on our rate study. She's on her table, but she's the best person to explain them all.
Okay.
So, welcome.
Okay. So, this is our first draft. It's a preliminary results for the water and sewer rate study. Again, this is draft. We're happy to make any adjustments needed. I'm sure we'll tweak some things. But the idea today is to get your overall input on level of potential rate increases and level of financing versus cash-funded, rate-funded funding of capital projects. And so I've input the latest capital improvement plan into our cash flows here as well as the budget numbers, so budgeted revenues, budgeted expenses, to get a feel for how much and capital funding can be accomplished through existing rates, how much can be funded through rate increases, and then how much is left over to potentially be financed. And then I also would want to get some feedback on your interest in financing mechanisms, if we're looking at more of a 30-year bond, if we're looking at, if you'd like more of a 10 or 20-year bond, and that'll tweak all of our interest rates and then debt service payments. For this first draft, I did a 30-year term, which is more like a municipal bond, which is what the district has done in the past, but I can certainly adjust that assumption. And I used the financing terms that we talked about when I gave the presentation way back in September. So as we kind of fine-tune things, I can look back at that and just make sure that's still reasonable and accurate. So for the rate study, I did a 5-year cash flow. And so the first potential rate change would happen July 1st of this year, so July 1st, 2020, so covering fiscal year 2020-21. And I wanted to point out that the prior rate study that I did had a programmed rate change already approved for July 1st. And those programmed rate changes came in the middle of these three options here. So we're kind of right on track with what we had projected a few years ago. We're kind of on track with the revenues and expenses and planned rate changes. So I can start with the water table. Right at the top is, 2020 water rate study. So we're all kind of looking at the same thing. So I took the capital improvement plan and ran three options. Option one has the maximum debt financing of $12.8 million. And because we're financing over 30 years, that ends up with the lowest impact on rates. That ended up as a 4% annual rate increase every year for the next 5 years. I also thought about what is the lowest possible debt scenario. What would that look like? I ran $5 million of debt, which resulted in 3 15% rate increases. And just as a point of comparison, the pre-programmed rate change is already 12%. And then we're kind of doing the Goldilocks and the three bears, low, high, and then in the middle. And option three is a middle option. An $8 million financing with the 2 years of 10% increases, of 7%, and then 2 5% increases. So then just below that, the table is showing the cumulative, so the compounded impact of those rate changes over time. And just a little note there is not all customers will get exactly the percentage shown there. It depends on if you use a lot of water, a little bit of water, what your meter size is, all those factors. But just an average rate change. So for all the options, we're using a combination of revenues. We're using some amount of existing water capital reserves. The water fund didn't have a ton of capital reserves. Most of it is the emergency reserve, which we don't want to tap into too much. So that's why we're purposefully not spending that down on sewer. There was a greater buildup of reserves, so we are using that to a greater extent. We do project a little bit of capacity fee revenues, and this is the total over 5 years.
Yeah.
And then the buildup of rate revenues, so rates, first fund, operations and maintenance. Then it funds your existing debt service. And then whatever is left over can then be pledged to either new debt or to cash fund capital projects. So shown there, the rate revenues is the cash funding. So it's a little bit every year that is contributed to cash funding of projects. And then the new debt for the three options. So in total, we're planning on funding about $8.7 million. And so what I did was I took the capital improvement plan. It's fully loaded. All 100% of the projects are in this plan. So if you cut projects or move projects around, that would influence the numbers. And I also added the 3% escalation to the year of construction, just to cover some inflation in there. So the next few tables are really background information. Page 5 is option number 1. And I know there's a ton of numbers on here. We don't have to go through every number. But if you have questions about specific projects or the timing of projects, they're all listed here. So big ticket items, well 8, which we'd actually assumed was going to be in the prior rate study, right? But it's getting pushed out a little bit. Let's see. The other big one is the mainline capital improvement long-term replacements. So it started out as $2 million per year, and then it's a little bit of cost escalation every single year. So those were the two big ticket items, and then a lot of smaller items. So we have the $12.8 million assumed to be financed in this coming fiscal year to help cover the projects. And one thing to note is with bond financing, you are supposed to spend down the money in 3 years. So you could say, well, Allison, why didn't you put the $18 million of projects all in the bond? You can't really do that. And another question would be, what level of spending in projects do you have the capacity to complete in terms of construction management, administration, all of that? Is another big factor in question. So that's option one. And then each option also has the operating cash flow. So page 6 showing the increase in rates over time to fund. We did slight operating cost increases over time to reflect inflation. And we had some more detailed estimates about the Veolia service contract increases to that line item. And then I made some estimates about debt service on these new issuances using the terms and conditions we talked about in September. And then I made sure that the proposed rate increases would meet a debt service coverage ratio of 1.25,
which is all the way.
Sorry?
It meets it all the way?
Yes, yes. So like for option one, it's I did 1.5 or above. A lot of agencies I work with say 1.25, that we don't want to get close to 1.25, let's do 1.5 or above. So that's what I did here, and then made sure that there were always a minimum balance of operating revenues just in case there's any emergencies. And we also preserved the capital emergency reserve as well. And the next few tables are really background tables that I'll include in the rate study. Under Proposition 218, you have to show proportionality. So how different customers use the water system to determine what their rates and charges are.
And you're doing that by the diameter of the pipe?
Yes. So that would be like the demand
category,
and the meter category would be scaled. So again, those are a lot of numbers, but it's more of the homework item for me. But yes, we did that analysis. We have it here. We have it documented. That would be part of the administrative record of your rate study. You don't have to go through every table there.
Just going back to well 8, did I hear you said there's, what's the future of well 8?
The future of well 8, we are working with Fantagis. We just did an analysis of the prospective location on the Fantagis property where the well would go. We just found out it is suitable, so now we're going to move forward with a right of entry agreement for us to conduct some tests to determine if that's a suitable location to do the drilling. So that's where we're at this moment.
And what's the, what, when we start really putting the money into it?
What's it say
here? Probably a year or 2 years away?
2 years.
Yeah, okay.
And then I believe I saw in there a decommissioning of a well.
Yeah.
In relation to that.
Yeah. And eventually well 5 will get bad enough to where it will degrade the well, which makes it wet.
Right. Yeah. Just, our plan is to decommission it.
Sure.
So So I can give everybody a minute or two to kind of think about just water, or as long as you like, or to ask questions, or you can go to sewer whenever you're ready.
Why don't you give the whole presentation, and then we'll come back, and we'll open up the public comment, and then we'll open it up to board questions.
So on sewer, I did the same exercise. I looked at the lowest level of debt, which was actually none. It was a total cash financing option. I looked at the maximum debt needed, and then a middle-of-the-road option. So we're looking at potentially 2% annual increases, a little bit of front-loaded of 15%, 10% under option 2. And again, that's no debt. That's why there's, you know, double-digit rate increases and why it has to be front-loaded. And then a lower option of 2-5% rate increases. And the pre-programmed rate increase from the prior study was 4%. So again, it's kind of right in the middle of these options that we're looking at. The next little table shows the cumulative rate increases over the 5 years. Option 1 and option 3 come out pretty similar in terms of cumulative over time. So for sewer, we're funding about $17.2 million. And sewer did have a lot more money in the bank and the operating fund. So I assume that that was being spent down, about $4.5 million. And that's part of the reason we're getting out of not having to issue debt in one of the options, if we have that money that the ratepayers have built up over time, so we're going to use it potentially to keep debt costs lower. And then the same story of using rate revenues over time and potentially increasing the rates to avoid some debt. So then the wastewater tables are laid out in a similar fashion. Each option has a capital cash flow and an operating cash flow. And we are preserving the emergency reserve fund for both utilities. We don't want to use that up just in case. Each utility does have a little bit of assumed capacity fee income coming in, but I kept the estimate pretty minor. I don't want to assume we have huge growth, commit that revenue to debt, and then growth dries up, and then the town has trouble making coverage. So the main projects for sewer are the wastewater treatment plant 1 refurbishment in about 2 years, as well as the denitrification project, which is about $10 million if we include that little bit of cost escalation each year. And then most of the other projects are relatively minor. One other big one was the outfall diffuser repairs at $500,000. And it's the same story on the operations, where I used the debt assumptions from September, again assuming a 30-year term. And then I made sure that the rates and the revenues are adequate to meet debt coverage and not come close to that 1.25 threshold. And then to maintain also some operations and maintenance fund balance for emergencies.
So on the D-Night, we're only looking at spending about, what, $800,000 thereabouts over this year? Am I reading that right?
It's
380. Yep, 3 and 4.
We've got 383 plus this year and 440 next year.
Yeah. So 800,000 maybe. Yeah. That's all we expect to spend this year as we ramp that up. So it's going to hit the years following.
Yeah.
The big bulk of it. Okay.
Okay.
I think because a lot of it is an engineering process, so it's soft cost.
Yeah. But it's got to hit heavy out there, which it does. 21, 22, 23, 22, 23. What's the total cost on that 14?
Yeah.
So I see over there, well, here's 4.8.
I think we're trying to hold for the 13.8.
9 million is all it's showing here. Right?
Plant one, the line gets.
Look at the D. So yeah, 383, 440, 4 million, 4 million.
Yeah, DI is probably is about. Yeah, it should be about 7 to 8 million.
And so that total is about 9 million. So there's about 5 million we're covering? Or it's not being incorrect. Where's the other 5 million? I guess is the question.
If I may,
yeah.
It's the plant one. The whole project is plant one and the D-Night together is the 13.8 that we talked about prior.
I got one done. Plant one refurbishment, that's part of it. You don't classify that part of the D-Night, you're just calling it.
No, I actually broke that out so
okay.
We can track
okay.
Each project and know
what it's called. Great explanation, thank you. 3, 4, that's it. Okay, that's a difference. Okay, thank you.
You're good.
You did good.
14.0. With the cost.
Everyone always wants to know how these proposed rate adjustments impact a typical bill for the average ratepayer. Yes. So I ran a typical water bill and a typical sewer bill and compared with other local agencies. I had to call them up or look on their websites and see what their typical bills are. The average bill in Discovery Bay is a 1-inch meter with 1,300 cubic feet of use, 13 units of use. And interestingly, in the prior rate study, it was 15 was the average. So we're seeing a little bit of conservation. I was realizing my bill survey for water does not include a meter replacement fee, so that we can decide if we want to show that.
That's the $8.
Yeah, the $8.01, I believe. But the story in Discovery Bay has always been the water's always been a low bill, and then sewer's always been a high bill. And then once you combine them together, Discovery Bay tends to be in the middle of, of local agencies.
Through the chair. Mm-hmm. With the wastewater, our placement is up high.
Yeah.
Would you agree that it's an economy of scale? Where some of these agencies are serving more people, so they have more ratepayers, and on an economy of scale, that's why we come out higher.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely a factor. Some agencies are disadvantaged communities, and they get lower cost loans, subsidized loans from the state, grants from the state, things like that. But you mostly had to pay the full freight of improvements over time. So I have water broken out by itself, sewer by itself. And then the second page has the combined bill. The Discovery Bay bill is very comparable to Brentwood, Benicia, and Hercules, and then much lower than Antioch, Mountain House, Pittsburgh, and Lathrop.
So the annual bill, the increase, looks to be about in place from $4 to $12, $11?
This is the monthly.
Okay. Yeah. That's the way I think people will look at it. How much is it costing me per month?
And on a $50 bill, if you say 10%, people think, 10%, that sounds like a lot. But it's $5 a month.
Yeah.
So the percentage versus the absolute dollars folks are paying can be a little confusing. So I'm happy to answer any questions. I know it's a ton of information. I wanted to see if there's any other types of options you'd want to see, and if the debt financing assumptions are reasonable, or if you'd like to look at 10-year terms, 20-year terms, what your overall feedback would be.
Okay. Before we do that, let me open up to public comment. If anybody has anything they want to make a comment on.
Well, it's a comment, but maybe a question that you won't answer. If I'm understanding this, that I went to a lot of meetings and you were going to have about a $14 million project to demagnification and sewer plant number one. And it looks like you only need this to borrow $5 million to do that. Now I see the water seems to be talking about borrowing $12,800,000 to do a $4 million well and put $2 million a year away in some kind of reserve. It looks like that's the biggest part of that project. So my comment is then that I have heard that with regard to financing the pool, if there was a shortage, they would initially talk about borrowing it from the wastewater. And it seems to me that you're borrowing to do a wastewater project, so that if you use that money for pool money to be paid back later, you're financing the pool with bond funding. Now I'm hearing that apparently the water doesn't have enough reserves to do what they need to do. If you want to go out and borrow almost $13 million of bond money for the water projects, so that would then to me mean there is no money in the waste or in the water to finance the pool. So those are my comments.
Thank you. Okay, bring it back to the board. Just so I understand, I'll go back to the water rate study, just the first page. So what that top table is showing is if we borrow the maximum that we need, we're looking at 4% increases for the next 5 years. If we borrow less, that means we're going to have to increase rates in order to make up the capital cost.
Right.
And then option three is just kind of split the difference a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. And then you did the same thing with a sewer study, in that we would have to subsidize the capital cost up front with user rates rather than spreading it out over 10, 20, or 30 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Confused me at first, but that makes sense. So if we had, I guess let's see, we're currently averaging about $132 a month total utility bill. So anywhere from 4 to about $19 a month difference, depending on how you determine the financing. So if we went with option two, it would be $153 a month.
So $21
versus $132 a month under our current proposal. And the option one, which is the sort of the max financing over the longest period of time, brings it down to $4, which is the 4%. Is that correct? Okay. Now, typically in utility financing, where you've got treatment plants, pipelines, and so forth, we're looking at useful lives of 30 years plus. So the 30-year financing is within the parameters that an underwriter is going to look at, rather than 30 years on a truck. And that also results in the lowest annual cost to the user. The users that are here will pay for what they use, and the user who's not here 20 years from now won't pay for what he's. Or the guy today doesn't have to pay for somebody's service 20 or 30 years from now, in the sense that you didn't front load the cost, let today's ratepayer bear the cost of a capital improvement that they will never benefit from because they'll be gone. The average house is what, about 7 to 10 years, someone's going to move on and they move to Brentwood or Texas or wherever. Okay, I think I understand.
So walk me through a little on the freshwater, on the water rate. As I heard, $12.8 million would be the worst case. But what is driving the $12.8 million exactly? So I can understand well, about $4 million, right?
Yeah.
And that used to be like 2 years ago. I know that time increases cost, but 2 years ago we talked about only $2 million. Now it's up to $4 million.
Is that
is a standalone well now, so they're going to build a standalone well.
Okay, so the decision is to go the more expensive one. Yeah. But having it work, why the eyebrows?
Pardon me?
You had the eyebrows went up when I said we took the more expensive one.
Because I'm not, I think it's not necessarily more expensive because this is treating it all at the site as opposed to having to put extra stuff out at our other water sites. So you have some cost savings on one end, but the drilling of the well and the well site itself is going to be more expensive there. I don't think they necessarily offset completely, okay. But I don't. I'm saying that right? Yeah, that's one of my arguments.
Where we had been when we talked about this past was that there was an expensive route and a less expensive. That we might find a less expensive way by combining. And so when I say the more expensive route, I'm just going by past discussions. If they've come closer together, that's fine. Okay, so I retract that comment.
Well, it may be true.
It's already true because it's $4 million versus $1.5 million too. What else is maybe, so we got another few million dollars there.
Yeah, there's mainline piping that we need to replace. And so we need to start.
So the aging pipes, which we know that, as I see on this, we're talking how much to do the underground.
It's actually going to be about $2 million a year, and it's about $500 to $1 million per mile.
Okay. And that's really replace underwater crossing that we're doing at $400,000. So that's an addition to. How many do we have total of those underground water?
Underwater crossings, there are 11.
11.
And so, yeah.
And they're all going to be built about the same way in the same time frame.
Yeah. Okay. We're hoping that we can clamp this latest one by the marina.
Okay.
So we're keeping our fingers crossed on that. So that would be significant savings if we can do that.
It's short-term savings because at some point
that's exactly right.
Fail, so, okay. Okay. And the reason, so we've got very little reserves compared to the wastewater. Is that because this has kind of crept up on us and we didn't take into account that a few years? Okay. Not that we could have done it. You've still got to have the money to put into the reserve, so I...
Yes, you do.
Excess money, I might say. Okay. I'm good.
I think you have...
Bill, put your...
The mainline CIP program long-term, that's about $2 million a year, is that anticipated to actually be spent, or is that something that you're going to put in your back pocket for when it needs to be?
Yeah, we're actually going to do those.
But
the plan is to do those projects. They need to be replaced. So.
I mean, the moment is now. It should have been later. We want to get ahead of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
This
many
is all
ages.
Our asset management plan. It's looking at our assets, yeah. Seeing the age of them, and having to replace them, creating a plan to do that. So.
Most utilities have a renewal and replacement program. They set up, and they know that they have X number of miles of pipeline. It has an average age of something, and they know that they're going to lose a mile a year. Somewhere, some way, you televise as best you can. You start looking at your trouble spots where you have backups or you have clogs or you have whatever. And, you know, there's maintenance management programs that help you do that. This district hasn't had it forever. And now the reality is we see $250,000 here, $250,000 there for maintenance and repairs, and we might as well get ahead of it. And we have it, you know, built into our rates rather than looking at a need and no cash.
And I believe we've been running pretty close to $500,000 a year on freshwater maintenance.
Yes.
But just the piping out this bit. And we fix upon failure, which is not the right approach, but we can't afford to take the miles and miles and miles and replace them all. Mm-hmm. Okay.
One other question I have, it's not... I'll dump it on you because I'd like an answer at a future time.
Okay.
It's why we use one-inch meters.
I'm sorry?
Why we use one-inch meters,
okay,
as our standard meter. I don't need the answer now, but...
Are these our water meters that
water
you're
meters
referring to?
Yeah.
Okay, I can help you with that.
Okay, great.
If we went smaller, then we'd have a natural restrictor right up front.
Is that no, you know, people sort of got to turn their sprinklers on.
Just turn it on.
Take long showers. It doesn't make any difference. I'm just curious.
This is a report that we've seen before.
Sure, that's
it's very useful to see how where we are or were and where the projected is. That's all. Thank you.
Anything else, Allison?
So do you have any direction for me or any of the options particularly interesting, or do we want to, so we're trying to figure out next steps, right?
Okay.
Do we want to take all three options to the board as a whole and have the board as a whole pick one, or do we want to recommend a specific option?
When are we taking this to the board? When is the projected board presentation?
So we're doing the Proposition 218 process, and it's a long process because you have to mail notices to ratepayers 45 days and then have a public hearing. We're trying to get the rates in by July 1st, have the July 1st implementation date. So recommending we have the Prop 218 hearing in June. And then,
oh, we got plenty of time. Yes.
And we're working backwards.
No, we're working backwards, but we're not rushed to get it through. So we will have an opportunity to have at least one more finance review meeting.
That's 2 months away.
It's
I do not think so.
No, we don't. The finance system.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
2 months.
Yeah. So I'd recommend having information sessions, either again with finance or the board in so there's the next one, February 19th, but then in March, have the information, educational sessions.
Okay.
And then my preliminary schedule has board accepts the report and authorizes the 218 mailer on the April 1st meeting.
April 1st, okay. So working backwards, if we were to have a finance committee meeting next month to come up with a recommendation of which option to proceed with,
we can do that. Or
I truly believe we should take that responsibility.
So we can here. We'll recess this meeting until the date we determine.
It'll be a special meeting.
Yeah, early March.
Also, by then, I think what we're going to do is, Sue had kind of put together 4 years ago, 5 years ago, all the 218 stuff.
Yeah.
It's a little more complicated now. Mm-hmm. We're going to be looking at hiring out. We want to make sure all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. Okay. And we want the most knowledgeable, up-to-date people doing it. So we'll be looking at contracting out.
Yeah.
Okay. And so can we go, I'm good. You've answered all the questions for water, but on wastewater, kind of a surprise to me, but as far as the $14 million hitting us, we are better prepared than I can even talk about with reserves. So here's one you can't answer, but you've got to ask. Do we know of any other mandates that are coming out?
There's constant mandates. We have salt mandates. Every year, the Water Quality Control Board comes out with new levels. We're going to have to be, we may have to pay for a study, I just found out, regarding new salt requirements. So you can either be at a 700, whatever it is, level, or you can pay to participate in the study. Well, I don't know how much it's going to be in the study, but we can't meet that 700 standard in salt. We're at 1,200. So how much is this going to be? They haven't said yet. There's going to be some meetings on it, and so we'll be involved in that. And so that's, there's a lot of crystal ball in there.
Sure. Well, the reason
and that came out of nowhere.
Even Gregory might be able to help because he's dealing with other firms, other organizations that might give.
Yeah, he's the one that told me, we're going to do the study. Sure. We're going to pay to be in the study.
And we're going to deplete our reserves, pretty much.
Yeah, it still makes me nervous because we haven't opened plant one yet. So
that'll leave us a little exposed
as
we try to rebuild that. That's why I'm asking if we got anything that we can even see into the long-term horizon, I guess.
What we can expect is stuff that's going to come at us and it's going to be not cheap.
Yeah.
And cost can even, we don't know what's going to happen. We're developing a GSP now, and our shares have been kept down. We've been receiving grant money, but we're not a DAC, so a disadvantaged community here, so we have no really other opportunities to offset stuff. We get always nailed with a full boat. And who knows what will come on down the line in terms of monitoring costs or things of that nature that may be added on. And that's why it's important to have those reserves, because there are things that are coming. I just can't tell you what they are and exactly how much they'll be.
Sure. Okay. Well, I had to ask.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that we have a chance to get together. At least makes it happen. Before we leave, let's pick a date that's going to work for everybody.
And if people have another question. So when is the drop dead date that you want to hear this? Yeah. And then work backwards from that.
We did that already. Yeah.
We're pretty flexible, so.
So there are two meetings in June, right? So this is the earlier meeting. So we have a little slip of two weeks later.
Yeah. Okay, so June 3rd is when it all finished, right?
The hearing, yeah.
The hearing is June 3rd. So we need to have the mailers postmarked April 17th. So we need to have accepted by the board April 1st. So go back from April. We've got three board meetings, either the 19th, the 4th, or the 18th. The 19th of February, and the 4th, and the 18th of March. So any one of those days, does that
it
work?
It would probably be best to try to do it on the 4th in case there's questions or, anything
on the 4th of March.
You can give some time to come back.
If we held it, okay, so March 4th is our super committee day. If we did a special meeting at, say, 2:30, that'd kill your day. We could even put it on. You can come up with a recommendation at that meeting, and we could have it on the board meeting that night if necessary.
Well, do it beforehand. So I don't want to surprise the board at the last minute. As another board member, I wouldn't appreciate it, just have that dumped on me.
Okay.
So back it up. Anytime in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Pick a day that's comfortable for you.
So, do we want to do it on the 19th? February 19th, do you think?
So I'm out all that week.
Okay, well that's not good.
What about Monday the 24th?
That's good for me.
Monday the 24th, perfect for me.
Okay, what time?
2:24. Yep, I'm good. Okay, 24th, you pick a time.
What's a good time for you?
Same as now? Or
you want to knock it off in the morning or in the afternoon?
That's fine too.
Make it easy on yourself.
Morning.
Okay,
morning.
What, 10 a.m.?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
Okay.
10 o'clock. This will be a finance. February 24th. Good. So everybody look everything over?
Well,
more questions come up?
Then
yeah. Get back
and
do
a little
digestion.
Okay.
Happy
to
get it.
Okay. Thank you, Allison. Now, one other thing on yourself. These numbers we're comparing the two. Are they current, or are they after they have been done the rate studies?
So I have notes here. A few of them are increases that I know of planned for July. So Stockton has a plan increase, so I noted that. Benicia had a plan increase. Everybody else, I don't know for sure.
Well, I almost have to believe that, I believe that almost everybody is going to do a rate increase on the wastewater because of they've got the same issues that we do. So, okay, so it could be even a little bit better.
Correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on to item two.
A general question on your rate increases. Are these the type that after you present them, you can only defeat them by a negative no vote of a certain number of people?
We go through the Prop 218 process. Mail it out to everybody, and then people can come back with their negative if they have those comments.
Okay, so if you had a negative vote, I'd have to look up Prop 218 and see, is it of the people who vote or of the population you send it to?
Got it on that.
The people you send it to.
People you send it to.
So if you send it to 5,000 people, you would need 2,501 people to say no before the
correct
rate increase could be defeated.
Okay. All right. E2.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So we just wanted to, we just completed our audit, and let Julie tell you about the good news.
Okay.
Field work was completed in 2 weeks in January. We were following up with some questions this week, and then it's going to go into partner review. We will have our financial statements in time for our bond filings in March. I did mention about the one big item was the Hoffman promissory note that's going to go into income. And that is it. Everything's pretty much it.
And we filed on time.
Oh, yes, and we filed our trial balances on last Friday. He was struggling, but he got it in.
And Hoffman, that was paid in December, the Hoffman?
We got that in November.
November, okay. And you referenced it as the first payment. And I know technicality, but it's actually the second payment.
Okay. Yeah, it's the first payment of the note.
Yes.
Yeah, they put it down, payment down. So it's all, they're deciding where they want to put it in the income right now. So we're having a couple of discussions of what you can do with it.
Whatever.
Yeah, income's income.
Income's income. All right, thank you. And when will the audit be scheduled to be presented to the board?
March.
Okay.
I'm doing that one.
Right. Yep. Your camera. Okay.
If this is an audit for the year ended June 30th, 2019, so you have 9 months to be able to complete the audit by law. You don't have anything earlier requirements.
They had to file a financial transaction report with the state, and so that's 7 months. So that was done by the end of January.
So it's not like the school districts where they have a certain amount of time. So, okay.
We have different rules. Everybody's got a different rule. Budget calendar.
All right, Julie.
Carol has been has set out dates for our budget review.
Mm-hmm.
I've started working with the managers trying to get the budgets together. And the dates that are really important for you, sure I got this. On April 23rd, we're going to have a manager's meeting where we'll meet and go over our budgets. And then on April 27th, which again, I think Carol's scheduled all these meetings, we'll have the Finance Committee budget review. It'll be all the departments, members of the public, and the Finance Committee members. It'll be at 10 a.m. On May 20th, the Board of Directors and staff will have a budget workshop at 3:30. Again, it'll be the Board of Directors, members of the public, and the Finance Committee. Do you have the mic? On June 3rd, we'll have the presentation of the budget. And then on June 17th, the adoption of the budget.
So I'm sorry, June 3rd present? Yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry. Passes down and we've not that I did it. That was bad.
For the public, did you make some for the public?
It's the same time frame that Dina's used in previous years.
Okay. Other items? Nothing?
Future? No, not on that. Future?
Future, sure.
Solar? We have, at any point, we have that sometime in the future. Stacked on all the other things you've done? Solar power?
The solar power,
I know, it's taking a back seat.
I think you guys were mulling over the information, and Sue's the expert on this. She has all the stuff on that, and good luck to us. She's leaving.
I know. Well, ask her before she leaves sort of where we're at, and you can bring us up to date on the 24th if we need more information.
Yeah, okay. I did kind of mention it to her. She goes, well, I have nothing more to report.
Yeah.
We're kind of just in limbo right now. And I think we kind of put it on hold because we don't really know. We've got the Chicane project. We've got all of that going on.
We also have the D-Night. We want to figure out which way you're
exactly.
Going.
Exactly. So I really think it's an abeyance, but I will double check this.
Okay.
That's
all. Okay. All right. Then we are adjourned.